Book of Luke, chapter number 2, the passage that you read, I want to speak on one of several dozen thoughts or more in that passage. Pretty much what to deal with this time of the year. We celebrate the miraculous conception of the Christ child and the process by which God the Father sent God the Son by means of God the Holy Spirit to continue forever being God and to make a start at being a man. Story of the virgin birth, the incarnation of Christ, God becoming also man, laying the foundation for his life and his ministry, and then his great sacrifice for us. And the great victory, all of these things come into perspective. At this time of the year, and it's a time of opportunity to explain some of the wonderful, wonderful truths of the Bible. Fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. How did that happen? The timeliness, the organization from heaven. And we look back with a degree of awe and wonder at what the Bible tells us. Well, I think you found Luke 2. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to get some practical helps this morning. Help your children. Encourage the lost to find Christ and to trust him. Help us to magnify the one you sent, your own dear Son. And we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you, I think, know at least the general details of what you read, Luke 2, 1 to 20. About God arranging for Joseph and Mary to be at the right location at the right time. He even stirred up a Roman Empire to put out a decree to make this a reality. The shepherds, when the Lamb of God was being born, being informed so they could be there and available for it. The matter of Jesus being born in poverty to identify with us. Think of the contrast of leaving his throne in heaven and coming where there was neither house nor inn for him to be born within. Oh, what a contrast what he did for us. But I want to deal with one aspect of the angelic message. First, one angel greeted the shepherds, and then the choir, heavenly choir, a multitude of angels came. God had commanded that all the angels would come. In a sense, he sort of opened the door of heaven, cleaned out heaven, and sent them down to celebrate the enormous event, in the mind of God at least, of the birth of Christ. Our culture has twisted things to where Christmas was made for children. Wasn't either. It was a celebration of Jesus coming. But they've totally refocused it. And children know more about Santa Claus than they do Jesus. And it's a sad thing. But we're the ones supposed to do the teaching, and evidently we've not done it well. The world's done a better job with a lesser subject than we have with this marvelous subject. We come to verse 14, and this is what I want to focus on this morning. Their message, glory to God in the highest. He's the one to get the glory. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. It's an amazing thought, and this isn't my focus. that God would have goodwill towards rebels like us. He gave us law and we broke it. He gave us precept and principle and we rejected it. He sent his son, we'd not have anything to do with this man. And he still has some goodwill towards us. That's an amazing line of thought, that the rejected creator would have goodwill towards the rebel citizens of his planet Earth. Goodwill toward men. But I don't want to follow that line. I want to deal with the one previous to that. We're told that there was to be peace. On earth, peace. Now, a lot of people have come to various conclusions on the issue of peace and what's involved. Jesus put it succinctly, "My peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." There is a peace that the world knows about, and it distributes among its citizens, greatly inferior to the peace through Jesus Christ. Our peace helps us with heart issues. Let not your heart be troubled. It can help us when we normally be troubled. And neither let it be afraid. We don't have to have fear like the world around us does. But we're looking at this subject of peace. On earth, peace. Now, I cannot document. If you can, I'd be glad for it. And if I'm wrong, I'd be glad to be corrected. But 60 or more years ago, I heard, and have heard on and off since, that the time of Jesus' earthly existence, from birth to ascension, was a time when there were no great wars on the face of the earth. First time that was so. Last time it's been so. I don't know about that. I just know that many people have said the same thing, and I hope they did their homework on it. They did not tell where they got their documentation. But it's at least a beautiful thought there'd be peace when Jesus is here. Of course, we know that down the road there'll be 1,000 years when Jesus rules and we'll have peace during that time. We call it the millennium for the matter of the 1,000 years of his rule and reign. But I want you to think about this matter of peace. The angels did not say that now there can be peace on earth, or we're bringing peace for on earth. They just stated peace on earth. I would suggest, and I think I can prove to you, there'd already been some peace here. And there's been peace after he left. Maybe not of international peace or war, peace from war, but a great peace available for God's people. We need peace. When there's a tragedy, a sudden loss, to have the peace of God in our hearts is a wonderful thing. There's an old hymn, starts out, "There's a peace in my heart that the world never gave, a peace it cannot take away." I think that one's called "Constantly Abiding." We have a lot of hymns about peace. People need peace. Most of them are like the raging waves of the ocean. And every so often a tsunami or a tidal wave comes rolling along. But no real peace. We need peace. And there's peace on earth to be had. It can be found. It's something to be sought after. It's a blessing and can be obtained, that peace in time of trial. Some people don't realize their great need until they're caught flat-footed, unprepared. And then it's a matter of recovery to have some peace. I want to deal in four areas. Some thoughts on peace found in the Old Testament. Then some thoughts on peace in the New Testament. Then some thoughts on peace and the great need for it. And then some about the one who can give you the peace you need now and which you'll need in the future to be able to face situations for which most people are totally unprepared. Let's think of that in the Old Testament. If peace only came when Jesus was here, what were all those sacrifices called peace offerings in the book of Leviticus? Man needed to have peace with God. And when the peace was broken, it was disturbed. The prayer life was weakened, and the walk with God was hindered. They came and brought a peace offering. It was not a sin offering. It was not a normal sacrificial offering. But it was one to reestablish peace between the individual and his Creator. There are times in our lives when our peaceful walk with Him is greatly disturbed. And we may have to find a way to reestablish the peace, for you can be sure that at the root, we were the guilty ones. He doesn't just choose to break off the peace He has with us. Do you walk in peace with God? Do you know the peace of God in your soul? Have you ever known it? And if you don't have it now, why not? What is it that broke open the chasm between you and God? God wants His people to enjoy peace. And some offerings may need to be made to reintroduce or reestablish that peace. Then we are told, great peace have they that love thy law. Do you have a love for God's laws, guiding principles, instructions on right and wrong? Do you have a love for that? For when you start loving His commands, there's a source of great peace for your soul. If you want to fight His commands, rebel against them, rewrite them, or ignore them, then you have chosen to reject a source of peace. God didn't give those rules to make you miserable. He gave them there to help you. And when you start loving His law, appreciating it, desiring to be able to walk in it, there'll come a peace with you, a peace with God, a peace with your fellow man. We're told that the law boils down into two great commands. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, thou and all thy being. And the second's like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And this can bring a peace often between you and God, and you and the neighbor, and you and yourself, by having things lined up as God created you to be and operate. We are commanded in the Old Testament, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace was available in the Old Testament. Peace was desirable. Peace was enjoyed by many in the Old Testament. Peace was a message that God had given to his ancient people Israel and instructed them to carry that message to other nations, that they could have a peace rather than being in misery, confusion, depression, heartache, and struggle. That there was a way, a road to peace that they did not know. Peace was commanded by God for his people. He expects us to live in peace. You can read the Psalms, it'll tell you a lot about peace. I encourage you, study the Old Testament. The angel said, peace on earth. Yes, but how many access it? It's available. But to access it. The New Testament continues with the teaching on peace and how it's available for us. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Not the world's peace, but God's peace. And calm our emotions. Heal our heartaches. Bring peace to our soul. It's available. It's accessible. And the peace would like to take over where there's only been trouble, war, struggle, heartaches. Oh, let that peace operate. Peace on earth. Let it help you when everything seems negative. We're told that there's peace to keep us from fear. Jesus spoke of this a number of times. It's a gift and made available. Galatians 5 tells us about the fruit of the Spirit and how one element of that is peace. The Holy Spirit will produce it in the hearts of God's people. It's related to proper trust. You can have peace in the middle of the storm. You can have peace when your faith is being tried. You can have peace in the midst of persecution. You can have peace when people insult you, scorn you, or mock you. You don't have to get angry, mad, fight, fuss, and fume. You can have peace, God's peace during those times. The behavior of some people, the reaction of some people shows that they can't honestly sing, there's a peace in my heart that the world never gave. It's a peace it cannot take away. Only takes the world a little bit, and any peace that was there is gone and replaced by something that's way short of peace. When we are tempted, when we're under attack, we can have peace. The New Testament tells about this again and again. Things that ought to be studied and understood. Used to be a tract booklet when I was a boy called Peace. And it was just a list of scriptures, well organized and ordered, so people could learn about this subject. People printed that, have gone to lesser subjects and all, and I'd sure like to find one of those again for my own use and perhaps for the help of others. This peace is the opposite of fear and frustration. Now, let's think a little on the need for peace. It's one thing to say, on earth, peace. And people to say, ah, we need it. We want it. Think about the need of peace with God. The judge stands before the door. You want to get right with God. You're going to face your Creator. Sure, it'd be nice to go in on a peaceful basis rather than in opposition to Him. Do you have the peace of God, peace with God, that you're ready to meet God and live with God? Oh, the great need for people to have peace, because their life and their actions and their speech show no peace. No peace. But there is peace, and it's available not just in heaven, but also here on earth. And then I would ask, do you have peace with your own conscience? Does it accuse you, attack you? There's not much peace inside. We need peace with God, but sure it helped to have peace with our conscience. A peace that would overrule in the realms of our emotions. You say, well, I'm only human. That's sad. If you were saved, you'd be both human and godly. And there'd be an available peace there for you. Do you have peace with your fellow man? Do you seek peace? Or do you just seek to always be on the attack or on the critical side? Of course, you never want to have peace with sin. You don't want peace with the world. You don't want peace with the devil. So you'll have a place to exercise opposition. Just choose who your opponent's going to be, according to what the Bible teaches. You need to have peace with yourself and how you're getting along. A lot of people have a war with themselves. We use a little cliche in this country, and I've tried to picture it since I was a boy, and I've gotten nothing but a humorous response out of the depths of my being. That person's beside themselves. As if one person was not enough, they're now two, one beside themselves. Do you know what it is to have peace with that self part of your being? Do you know how to have peace in your home with a spouse or parents or children or siblings? There is a need for peace. There's so much warring going on where it's not helpful. You have peace on the job with those that work for you or with those you work for or those you work with. Is there any sense of peace? Is there any accomplishment of peace? Is there a desire for peace? To be able to have such peace? Oh, if we'd study through on this and learn just what God's made available. Do we have peace with the government? Can we even have peace with the weather? A peace. Some people are always attacking, criticizing, tearing down, but never, never any sense of peace. You say, well, some things aren't right. You don't want to have peace where there's sin. But what about where there's something that is right? There are those who talk a lot about peace, but the Bible describes them. They're always saying peace, peace. But there is no peace. They can talk about it, but they don't exhibit it. They've never achieved it. So it's only so much talk. But some people can be peaceful when it looks like there's nothing to be peaceful over. Oh, such a peace is the thing we need these days. Peace on earth, finding it, living in it, benefiting from it. How much peace do you have? There are some people, God has taken their peace away. We're told of the wicked in Romans chapter 3, the way of peace, they have not known. There's no real lasting peace to be found in the world. It doesn't produce a genuine peace. Jesus has the high quality peace. There's no peace in sin. A lie will be there to haunt you. A theft to disturb you down through the years. The memory will go back to that again and again. There's no peace in sinning to get out of a situation. You've just complicated the situation. There's no peace to be found in the flesh. No peace to be found in the self-life. There is peace to be found with God in prayer and obedience and meditation. But some people choose a route that's not the way of peace because they don't know the way of peace. They just wander around in emotional and mental misery. No peace. Governments can't produce peace. They can promise it. But producing it is at best temporary and always at the expense of some and hurting them that others might have peace. But Jesus is going to set up a rule on earth of full peace with holiness unto the Lord. Peace needs to be sought, but you need to know where to seek, what to seek, how to seek, to know where is the way of peace. The wicked have not known the way, but there is a way. So I bring you to the one that is the source of peace. It's found in Jesus. His coming brought the announcement. Yes, there's been peace, but most of you don't know much about it. It's here on earth, but you've not found it, and maybe never sought it. Maybe we're not even disturbed enough to feel a need. I'm asking you, do you have some area of your life you need some peace? With somebody, yourself, your circumstances, with God? Do you know how to obtain peace in time of need? They announce in simple words, on earth, peace. Wouldn't you like to be one of the possessors of that peace? To have the benefits of that peace? Instead of always upset and disturbed. They said it's available. We're telling you, the Prince of Peace has arrived. Now, there's been peace around, but the question is, have you entered into it yourself? And how do you expect to get that peace if you don't go to the one who's the Prince of Peace, the source of peace? My peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth. give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You can get calmed down and under control when it's under him. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It's what the Bible teaches. It all traces back to this. There's peace on earth. Don't forget the importance of what Jesus can provide. There's peace to be found through his blood. Peace through the blood of the cross is what the Bible says. Have you enjoyed the benefits of Jesus' blood cleansing you and bringing peace into your soul? Some people, they know the intellectual facts, but they haven't received the benefits. There are a lot of benefits you can learn about, but if you don't access them or can't, they're just nice talking points. Peace. Peace. Knowing that God knows your thoughts. God knows the details of your life and everybody else's, and that doesn't disturb you. That he knows. People may not, but he knows. You have peace with him. And he provides peace to you. And the blood of the cross of Jesus has provided that peace in your life, your soul. It's one thing to talk about it, it's another to experience it. The angels were talking about experience. Facts are there, yes. But you need to focus in on this. His peace, superior to any other peace. It's a matter of being accepted in the beloved. The Father looks, and when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. And because he'll always be right by his Son, when you're in the Son, you enter into that peaceful relationship, Father and Son. Holy Spirit helps produce it. You get the benefits of being in Jesus, accepted by the Father. This peace is available. It's been here. If anything, it's more available than ever. I could tell you there's a way that you could earn $1 million. And that'd be nice. But then I might say, but I don't believe it's for you. It's just there, but not for you. But I'm here to tell you this peace is available to you through the Prince of Peace, who oversees the distribution, and the Holy Spirit produces the fruit in you when you're right with Christ, and thus with the Father. If we could lay hold of the availability and the need to tell others about this, there's a peace that comes in real forgiveness. Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper. But in the forgiveness and the cleansing, the sin issues that nag at the mind, disturb our sleep, hinder our relationships with other humans. The Bible tells us there's a full peace in heaven. And one day we'll have that peace. The world, thinking that everybody that dies goes to heaven, use those initials, R.I.P., rest in peace. It's a great desire and it's a great need, but they don't have a full grasp of what's happening. But for those of you that are saved, you'll rest with Jesus forever and ever, and it'll be great peace. But the question's not about, is there peace in heaven? Bible is very clear on that for everybody there. And those that don't want peace won't be there. The devil didn't want peace and he got thrown out. The question is, do you know about the peace on earth? And second, have you experienced peace on earth? We sing, peace like a river, how it overwhelms our soul. It's not just a side issue. Did you come in here with peace with God and others? Will you leave with peace? Or will you leave with stress, struggle, heartache, rebellion? When somebody close to you dies, do you just use cliches or drugs, prescribed or otherwise? Or is there a peace that God does all things well and he can bring a healing over the emptiness and the loss? There is peace available. It's on earth, not just in heaven. On earth, peace. And you can find it in the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who gave himself for you to save you, to cleanse you, to make you a new creature, to enjoy his peace. It's a gift. My peace, give I unto you. So when you think about the great event, glory to God in the highest. Oh, reasons. On earth, peace. Goodwill toward man. Instead of the mob mentality of sin and rebellion and war, you can live in peace. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you've provided, what you've given. I bless you that you didn't leave us without peace, and that you pointed us how to have peace. And you sent your Son so we can enjoy peace on a regular basis. Help us to humble ourselves before him and to draw from him that which you'd have the Holy Ghost produce within us, some peace. Help your people not to be weak, not to be bruised and beaten, but to be messengers of peace to needy souls. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.